Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome once again to another episode of the PRF Table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap, and today we're talking from the same subject we've been focusing on for about the last 5 months, and that is nothing less than Financial Empowerment Plus 2019, Financial Empowerment 2019. And if you've been with us and listened to any of our other shows on the second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m., you've noticed that the recurring theme is for us to bring people before you, for us to have conversations with you that is going to do nothing less than financially empower you. And the reason we call this Financial Empowerment Plus 2019 is really because this is not just about getting you over you something that's going to be beneficial for you in 2019 and then what happens in 2020. We want to make sure that we're continuing to bring you information to provide you with practical and spiritual tools that can help you not just in 2019, but also after 2019. So if this is your first time listening, all you have to do is press one on your dial pad if you want to make a comment or a question. We'll see you light up on the switchboard and we'll bring you into the conversation. So let me go ahead and start with this. We've had so many guests and we are so thankful for everybody who's been with us through this journey so far. But now we are starting to wrap it up. You know, we're going through the month of June, finishing out or closing out this particular series, unless God says something otherwise. But I want to start dealing with some real, real things, challenging things, things that have been coming up that we're not having good conversations about. Here's the deal. When we talk about financial empowerment, that means we're giving somebody the tools, we're giving a group of people the tools in order to be able to survive, to be able to do things for their families, to be able to make certain decisions. And the truth of the matter is there are so many people living in poverty that it's hard for those individuals to be able to say, I am empowered. I have the ability to do this. You know, it's something that President Nelson Mandela said years ago. He said, overcoming poverty is not a task of charity. It is an act of justice. He said, like slavery and apartheid, poverty is not natural. It is a man-made, and it can be overcome and eradicated by the actions of human beings. Sometimes it falls on a generation to be great. You can be that great generation. Let your greatness blossom. And so this is part of how I see us here at the PRF Table talking to you, bringing these shows to you. Listen, we need the remnant. You heard me talk plenty of times before about the remnant. The remnant is the one, I'm saying one as a singular unit, not a whole bunch of individuals. The remnant is the one that is going to be great. The remnant is the one that is going to make so many changes within our society, within our community. And the truth of the matter is, unless it happens, unless we give people the tools, the access, all of that, listen, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. So I want us to just focus on, at the beginning of this show, just talking about fiscal responsibility. I want us to talk about fiscal responsibility. And the reason I wanted to talk about fiscal responsibility is because if we're not teaching people to be responsible, if people don't know what responsible looks like, then how in the world can you expect them to be financially empowered? And so there's a couple things that deals with being fiscally responsible. And the first thing is you have to know where you are. You have to know where you are when it comes to how you spend money. You have to know where you are when it comes to how you're saving money. You have to know where you are as far as having a plan for your future. I can't find anybody who is truly wealthy that doesn't know how they spend money, that does not know how they save money, and that do not have any type of plan for the future. I know a bunch of rich folks that spend money like crazy. I know a bunch of rich folk that don't save because they have enough. They're not thinking about it right now. I know a bunch of rich folk that's not thinking about their future. But I'm talking about wealth. So I got a question for you. Let's say, for example, I asked you to just go for, say, the last 6 months. Well, let me make it easy for you. Just take the last 30 days. over the last 30 days, if I ask you that question, and I say, listen, I want you to tell me where have you spent your money over the last 30 days. If that's too much for you, just go with the last week. And here's what I know will happen. Some of your minds are going to start thinking. Some of your minds are going to start rolling and rolling and rolling, saying, you know what? I don't remember this, or I only remember this. A lot of times people only remember the big things. But the $5 here, the $25 there, the $45 here, those things add up. And so I want you to start thinking about how you're spending your money. And so now let me ask you this question. Let's say money wasn't an issue for you, right? What type of things would you have spent your money on over the last week, over the last month, over the last 60 days? And the truth of the matter is, when you start evaluating those two plateaus, what you find out is if money was not an issue for you, you would have spent money differently. But see, here's the thing. You know that PRF is about stewardship. So in that we're about stewardship, it doesn't matter and it should not matter if you only have a little bit of money or if you have a lot of money. The principles of stewardship should still be applicable. That's part of being fiscally responsible. And so one of the things I know people do a lot of times, and I'm guilty of it at times, but I don't do it on big things, and that's impulse buying. A lot of times people will purchase things that they just don't know. And the marketing of our consumer society is so great that you have to be very cognizant of impulse buying. What is impulse buying? Impulse buying is just going to the store for a gallon of milk and coming out with $60 worth of stuff. I know I'll go to the grocery store at times and I have a taste for something, but I don't know what it is. So like the other day, I got a bag of cherries, which you know are not cheap. I got a bag of cherries. I got a box of Andy's candies and I think I got some juice. And the fact of the matter is I had a taste of something, but I didn't know what I wanted. But when I left out of that grocery store, I had spent $20 on three or four things. That was impulse buying because I didn't go in there. I didn't go into the store. Well, let me just help you out. We're talking about financial empowerment. You have to be able to recognize those things, because what happens after that is what happens if you all of a sudden come into a large amount of money, come into a great deal of money. The same behaviors that you've done when you had, quote unquote, a little bit of money or less money is the same behaviors that you do when you have a lot of money. So we want people really just to be so focused on spending their money in a smart way. That's what we're talking about when it comes to being fiscally responsible. And when it comes to saving your money, this is one of the things that it just wrecks my heart, because I know people get themselves into financial situations, and they get themselves into financial situations mainly because they don't have anything saved, or they don't have enough saved, or they got money saved. They say, I got money in my retirement, and they look at that as a savings account, but then an emergency happens. Well, you can't just go and pull your money out of your 401 or TSP. You can't just pull it out that fast. So there needs to be these other saving vehicles that you have in place. And I try to teach people, it doesn't matter if I'm able to save $1,000 a month and you're able, I got to deal with the language piece. Not you're able to only save $100, as I was about to say. I correct myself. If I'm able to save $1,000 and you're able to save $100, we applaud both, because the truth of the matter is, we're both saving, and we have to be willing to applaud the behaviors of individuals and say, listen, this is the things that we're trying to do. We're trying to make sure that everybody's participating in these processes that is going to make sure that you are financially empowered. Here's the truth of the matter. You're oftentimes more financially empowered when you have money sitting in the bank than when you don't. Don't let nobody try to fool you. If I had $1,000 in the bank, and there was a situation that came up that I needed $100 for, I am more financially empowered because I don't have to go to anybody. I don't have to say I am such a bad way. I don't have to deal with the pride. I don't have to deal with the shame. I don't have to deal with any of the guilt. Somebody said, Dr. Dunlap is teaching on this, and I say, oh, I'll get to it later. And now all of a sudden you're in that situation. I don't have to deal with that game, that guilt for not taking the opportunity that was presented before me. We want you to be financially empowered. We want you to be the type of people that are able to make some moves, because if you are able to make some moves, when you are able to make some moves, there's some things that's not going to come your way. There's some things that people are not going to be able to hold over your head. They're not going to be able to do certain things to you. They're not going to be able to push certain things down your throat when it comes to certain laws and certain bills. They're not going to be able to do it when you are financially empowered. Now, you have to understand that when I talk about financially empowered and being financially empowered, listen, I am not talking about just sitting there and being able to do everything you can do for your family. I'm talking about financially empowered from a communal perspective. What do I mean? When we go and look at the Bible, most of the time, the language that you read, those who are speaking to groups of people, not so much to individuals. Yes, you, the individual, make up the group, but oftentimes the group is what is being addressed. When you read the word you in the Bible, a lot of times, unless it's one person talking directly to another person, most of the time you see you and they're talking to the Sadducees or to the Pharisees or to the church at Corinth or to the Rome church at Rome or to the church at Ephesus or churches at Thessalonica. They're talking to, we go to Revelation, talking about Ephesus and Sardis and Philadelphia. They're talking to groups of people. And quite honestly, I'm kind of sick and tired of seeing so many people that have the ability to be financially empowered, but yet don't take advantage of it. And when I say ability, the ability comes because you were created by God in His image and after their likeness. The task that God gave mankind was to have dominion over the earth. Well, your finances is in the earth. So what that means is you should be able to have dominion over your finances. You have dominion over your finances, then therefore you will therefore be financially empowered. And then as a group, as a community of people, as a body of believers, we will be able to make certain decisions in the earth realm that has been connected with the spiritual realm that will transform and take care of things that people need us to help them with. So again, this is what I bring to you today. And another thing I'll share with you before I go. I was watching, if you go onto my Facebook page, Dr. Nate Dunlap Jr., Dr. Nate is all together and that Dunlap Jr. is all together, or you go to the PRF Institute's Facebook page, PRF Institute, you'll see that I posted something, or we posted something the other day that dealt with housing. And I encourage you to go and take a look at it. What we found, or what I'm referring to, is a couple of days ago on C-SPAN. You can go and look at it on C-SPAN.org, or just go and watch it directly from our Facebook page. But there was a Housing and Urban Development Department oversight hearing where the HUD, Housing and Urban Development, the HUD Secretary Ben Carson, he testified before Congress. And yes, this thing is 3 hours long. But I'll go to the movies every week for an hour and a half or 2 hours if it's something that I want to see. But here's what I'm trying to get you to understand. You may not want to watch this. It may not be what's in your mindset. Say, this is how I want to spend my time. But I'm telling you, financially empowered people, here's one thing that they'll do. If you don't take anything for what I say today, here's what financially empowered people do. They listen to what other people say. So I'm not talking about listening to the headlines, a snippet of what somebody said. But when you're listening to individuals, especially people that's in authority, and you hear them say certain things directly out of their mouth, and you hear them and you hear things that they do not say, oh my goodness, you have a powerful tool there. So I'll be honest with you, I was only a few moments in to watching this Senate Hearing Committee, and I was like, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? Why in the world are some of the decisions being made from the Housing and Urban Development? Why was my question? And nobody really talking about that. Sometimes information that can empower you financially has to come from another source. So if I'm screaming at the top of my lungs, I need you to watch this committee hearing. I need you to hear what is being said about how many, the $9-point-something billion that was not requested for housing and urban development. Not requested. That speaks volumes. And I say all this because I want you to be empowered. I want you to know what is going on. And if you know what's going on, my brothers and my sisters, here's the deal. Some folks cannot just take advantage of you. And that's the place where we're trying to get. So listen, I'm going to take a quick break right here and just let you listen to some music. So I'll be back in a moment.
Hey, y'all, you know, we've never talked about love before, you know. Here's our version. Check it out. Paint a fruity smile each day. Loving is a blessing, yeah. Never let it fade away. It's all about love, yeah. Build yourself a true romance. Beauty that's around you, yeah. You deserve just one more chance, my dear. My dear, let the light shine all through your mind. Feel your heart aglow. Take the time, make up your mind. It's all about love, yeah. Talking to yourself is fine. Makes you feel much better. Know just where to draw the line, my dear.
All right, so listen, we are close to wrapping up today's show, and one of the things I want to do is just to tell you that on Sunday I preached a message entitled "If We're Concerned About This Community," and the subtitle of this message was "Get to Work." And I won't share everything. I may go on Facebook Live at some point this weekend and share from the different points of the particular message. But one of the things about it, if we're really concerned about our community, we have to understand that we have to be honest about our condition. And if you're honest about your condition, I'll share again more about this later, but if you're honest about your condition, if you know that you're not financially empowered, if I ask you, do you have at least $2,000 in the bank? If you're making $100,000, if I ask, do you have at least $10,000 in the bank? If I ask, do you own a piece of land or property somewhere? If I ask you those things, which leads to people being financially empowered, you have to be honest about your condition and say, listen, I don't. So then the next question is, well, what do I need to do? There should be something inside of you that says, you know what, if he's asked me, do I have at least $1,000 in the bank and I only have $2 in the bank? If he's asking me, do I have at least $1,000 in the bank and I'm making over $100,000 in a year? If he's asking me, do I have any property or land and I've been renting and leasing an apartment for the last 25 years? Then your next question is, Brother Dunlap, Dr. Dunlap, Rev, tell me what do you think I need to do? Is there something you can show me that can help me out? So listen, be honest about our condition. We are not as financially empowered as we need to be, but hopefully and prayerfully through listening to this episode of the PR Table and all the others that you can go back and listen to on blogtalkradio.com/PRF table. If you do that, I promise you, there's something that I know and believe that God is speaking to you, speaking for you through those who I've been had the pleasure of having on this show ever since the beginning of this year. So listen, join us in 2 weeks. We're going to come back to you in 2 weeks with another episode. And we're going to continue talking about how can we help you to be financially empowered. Don't forget, before we come back on June the 11th for the PRF table, come back on June the 7th and you will hear Kimberly Salas with Your Health is Your Wealth. Kimberly is doing a wonderful job on that show that airs every first and third Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You don't want to miss it. Our website is prfinstitute.org. Go check us out. And also, as a plug, we have a book coming out tomorrow that's called What's Next? Preparing for Eternity. Go onto our website. You'll see all the information there. God bless y'all. We love you. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. Peace.